kind of massive flood, and doing so in order to make important theological statements about the nature of human sin and God's judgment, as well as God's grace, since, of course, Noah and his family survived the flood. Well, in any case, whichever view you take, I do want to remind you of a couple things. In closing, we've really looked at two big subjects, that is, the four different views held among evangelical Protestants on Genesis 1 and 2, young earth creationism, old earth creationism, intelligent design, and evolutionary creationism. We then looked at three views on the flood, also held among evangelical Protestants, those who hold to a global flood, those who hold to a local flood, and those who think that the Bible describes a global flood based on a local flood in order to make theological statements. Let me emphasize, as I did at the end of the last session, that there are certain things that are clear, that are necessary for our salvation. But there are other things about which we're going to disagree. And again, I would simply urge us to engage in these discussions with integrity, honesty, and also civilly. These are not matters that are essential to salvation. And then, in terms of ending this session, I do want to emphasize something that I think is important, has been recognized as important through church history, and that is when we interpret the Bible correctly and we interpret science correctly, they're not going to contradict each other. Let me cite an important Reformed confession, the Belgic Confession, Article 2, written in the 16th century. We know him, that is God, by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters, leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even his everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20, all which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word, that is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life, to his glory and our salvation. And a more contemporary voice, which also says in different words the same idea, that there are two books of God, not just one, the Bible and science. And that's what Pope John Paul said, that science can refine religion, while religion can keep science from false absolutes and idolatry. The quote from Pope John Paul and the statement from the Belgic Confession tells us that there are two books that God has given us, the Bible and nature. And when both are interpreted properly, they will never contradict each other. And now, continuing this session, Mike Strauss is going to come up and continue to talk about issues concerning science and the book of Genesis.
As we continue this lesson on Genesis and modern science, I'd like to discuss a few topics where studying nature may give insight into the biblical texts. There's precedence for using scientific conclusions to inform our interpretation of the Bible. For example, scientific observations that placed the sun at the center of the solar system modified the common understanding of various passages of Scripture, like Joshua 10:13 and Psalm 104:5, which talk about the sun and moon moving or the earth being unmovable.